My name is Kathy O. I am a grateful recovering alcoholic. And Joe asked me to speak about 20 minutes ago because he said, we should have more women here tonight. So that's how this all came about. So I hope Joe's right here. I actually came to Alcoholics Anonymous on March 2nd, 1984. I remember that. I wish I could say that I was 63 and had, I don't know how many decades that would be, but I could have gone to Sweden, but yeah, next time. So I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. When I was growing up, my dad was in the service. It was great because we moved around a lot, and I have to tell you now, geographical cures. I thought it was the greatest thing. You know, we lived someplace for a while and things got strange, you got to move. And growing up, my family always drank, but it wasn't strange. Didn't everybody's family drink? And it was what I like to call normal drinking. When I first got sober, I used to tell this story all the time about normal drinking. Okay, whatever. There's nothing normal about my drinking. But, so I never really thought that much about alcohol. I have the lamest story. I mean, in high school, in my college, you know, those years, I drank 3 times. Very uninteresting drunkalogue. Each time was probably slightly inappropriate, but nothing dramatic. And I turned 18 and graduated from high school and went to college. And now let me say now that I went to college in America in 1973 and graduated in 1977. And as unlike other past presidents, I did inhale when I got to college. I inhaled, I induced, I tried everything. And it was lovely. I got a great education. I don't know if I learned anything. But I was really lucky. I had a really small liberal arts college. And so from the time I was 18, I drank and drugged every day. I just thought pot was the greatest thing since sliced bread. This was fun stuff. And it was just fun. And I met and fell in love with a theater boy. And oh my goodness, they loved to party. And so I fit right in. We just had a good time in the 70s. And I married this boy too. Oh, who knew? And so when we graduated, of course he asked me to marry him after our second year, and then he transferred to the University of Idaho. Now I was in Pennsylvania, so if you know the world map, those aren't separate kinds of country. But you know what? It worked. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. And bottom line though is, the next 10 years or so, because I was 28 years old when I landed in Alcoholics Anonymous. So you figure between 18 and 28, I just crashed and burned. I was like this magic sponge. You know, when you first start a sponge, they're nice and hard and they don't absorb very much. But then like you're like in a bucket, you know, the more you use it and the more, you can't squeeze it out anymore. You know, it's just so full. And that's the way alcohol, I just love to drink all the time. I was your classic maintenance alcoholic woman from breakfast till dawn. You know, I had a timer on this thing and I forgot to push it when I got up here. So we're gonna guess about 5 minutes is gone. And you know what? To this day, if I would drink again, that is the way I drank. Because I spent the first, so when I finally got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was whooped. I was whooped. I could not drink anymore. I really, really wanted to, but I couldn't do anything. And I didn't know. Yeah, you don't know what you don't know. But anyway, to make a long story short, so I started going to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was really blessed. Friday night, St. Margaret's meeting in Annapolis, Maryland, was a closed speakers meeting. And these were serious old-timers at the time. I mean, so now you're looking at back in the 80s, and they were already celebrating 25, 30 years. So, I mean, they all knew Bill Wilson, so, you know. And I learned principles before personalities. I learned that you didn't talk about anything in Alcoholics Anonymous at a closed meeting except alcohol, and that no matter what, you could get through anything. They used to tell these stories that were horrifying, and they didn't drink. I thought, this is very cool. So I liked you guys, I really did. I really never, from the moment that I joined Alcoholics Anonymous, have I ever doubted that I was an alcoholic. Never, ever, ever. But I gotta tell you, for the next 7 years, I can't tell you how many times I messed up. I just couldn't figure this out. You know, something would happen or I would do something different, and I'm not even going to those stories. But every time, for 7 years, I was like, what is going on here? And in between that time, I'd moved from Annapolis to a smaller place. You know, God, you're supposed to plant where you are. So I went from like 25 meetings a day, 7 days a week, to rural Pennsylvania that had one meeting in your town, but there are lots of towns, so every day you had to go to a different town. And there was cross-addicted alcoholics there, or potheads. I thought, oh my God, they're talking about that in Alcoholics Anonymous. But you know, if you have to listen to these people, they start to make a little sense. Oh my God. So after that, so I'd have like 2 years and 18 months and another 2 years. And so now I'm living in this little tiny place in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania, and now I know the truth. You know, in 7 years of Alcoholics Anonymous, I never told anybody that I smoked pot on a daily basis. Never once. I was in Alcoholics Anonymous. Why the heck would I tell you people that? I'm telling you, it's just not normal. Okay. So that being said, I said to myself, you know, if I start drinking again, I'm gonna have to stop smoking pot. I was like, how can I do that? Well, guess what? I started drinking again. Oh, I know. And that boy who married me from the theater department said, Kathy, I love you, and I think I'll always be married to you, but I don't think we can be together. And I was just like, oh man, I'm screwed here. And so I went to rehab. So for a really long time, let me tell you, that July of 1991 was a sobriety date, because I did go to rehab. And I can happily say for the next 17 years, I did stay clean and sober, which is really pretty awesome. I mean, I never thought I could stop drinking and drugging at the same time. I was like, oh my gosh. All right, so that we didn't stay in Gettysburg, middle of Pennsylvania for long. Oh my gosh, we moved to Shape, Belgium. Oh my God, plant where you are, right? All right, so we moved. I see all these little, in the middle of this group in the back here is all these Shapians who have known me since 1995. They all started appearing. And that's what I want to say, come back to the, guess what? I became a healthy member of the Tri-Borders Intergroup. And this was our home convention. And let me tell you, this is huge compared to what it was way back when in the early, mid-90s. I know Marcus is still here, and there's a lot of people here that are still beloved to me. And you come back every year, and oh my goodness, let me finish out by... So, I moved to Shape, and at the time there was 2 meetings a week. Within a really short time, there was 4 meetings a week. And I went to a lot of meetings, because that's what we do. And so we got involved in this intergroup. And so next thing you know, we're going to Antwerp, and we're going to Bruges, and we're going to Dusseldorf, and we're going to Maastricht. And every time we go there, we get lost. In Chinon, we went there 4 times and got lost every single time. And it was awesome. It was a whole new world. And for the first time in my life, I celebrated and I picked up my first 3-year chip. And my 4-year chip, and my 5-year chip, and my 6-year chip, and 7-year chip, and 8-year chip. It went on. And the thing is, and our first speaker spoke about it a lot, in all the different places I went, I had wonderful sponsors, but I never really got to be there long enough to work a lot of steps. You know, the first 2 sponsors, they were really believers in the first year of sobriety, you work on your first 3 steps. I should tell you that now, when I went to that first meeting in Annapolis, that Friday night, there was two meetings, and I said, well, what is which? And she goes, well, this is a beginner's meeting. This is a closed meeting. She explained that first, which is just for people who know that they have a problem with alcohol and is limited to alcoholics. This is a beginner's meeting that covers the first three steps. I said, well, I'm not going in there. I'm not ready for any of those steps. I'm going over here. I know I'm an alcoholic. This is where I'm going to hang. And that was it for the steps. And as much as I love, the thing is about when we were at SHAPE, we really didn't work on steps. This is a fellowship of men and women. And let me tell you, for the next 12 years, the fellowship kept us all alive. We took care of each other. We went to each other's houses for holidays. If one of us was in the hospital, the rest of us were there visiting them, visiting their family and taking care of them. When one of them had to go away or one of them crashed and burned, one of us was there to pick them up. There was no time in all those 12 years that I was ever in need of having somebody to have my back. And we talked about sobriety all the time. We lived it and we lived in the fellowship. And I really, honest and truly, did not know how much I did not know about the steps. We used to talk to each other about that too. I could help people out to the first three steps. We'd get to the fourth step and I'd say, we need to get another sponsor in here. You know, we really don't know what the heck's going on, but we should just, you know, whatever. We used to have step meetings and we, I don't know what the hell we thought we were talking about, but now I know we didn't talk. But you know, the bottom line is, there's no one way for us to stay sober. It's all the different ways. And I have would not have given up one moment of my time here in Belgium and the rest of Europe without it. Just saying. Okay, so, oh my gosh, times change. My babies are now growing up. They're all graduating from high school, and it's 12 years have now passed, and we have to go back to the United States. Oh my God, it is like a foreign country now. I am a stranger in a strange land. I speak the language finally, and I don't understand what they're saying. I really don't. I don't understand this traffic. I don't understand they yell at people. They don't take their time with anything. They don't have decent chocolate. They have nothing. And they sure as hell don't do AA right, right? They know nothing of how to do it right. Oh my God, I walked into my home group. I live in Newport News, Virginia. I walked in to my home group and five boys are sitting there. I was like, are you freaking kidding me? We're back to this again? So I'm happy to say now there's more than five boys. There's about 30 of us, and not women. There's about eight of us, but whatever. We progress, not perfection. You never give up, no matter what happens. And I shared this earlier this afternoon, and I haven't, by the way, just for nothing, those of you who have seen me walking around in the sweatshirt, had the North Sea Convention on it, I've saved that for, it was from 2001. It was We Move On, and it was the first year we moved here to this building. And I was the chairperson there. That's the last time I thought I'd ever have to speak. Damn. That being said, I forgot where I was going with that one. Okay, so we have this disease that's cunning, baffling, and powerful. And no matter how much we think we know, okay? Because, no, okay, let me start off by saying when I did get to Virginia, I seriously was in bad shape. I was pissed. We had recently lost a member of our home group at SHAPE, and she was beloved by a lot of us. And a whole bunch of people had moved, and it was just, I was a bitch, and I was. But that's okay. But, you know, I'm trying to live in this new place and be Mary Sunshine as usual. I was not really happy. And I thought to myself, okay, maybe it's time to find a sponsor. And I've always told women, find somebody who you really want to be like. So I found Phyllis. And the thing is about Phyllis is she, every time she talked about something with the steps and the big book. And I'm going, oh my God, maybe we should do this. Now, my buddy Linda is here, and she's of the same thing. She found a sponsor after I left, thank God, that taught her the same thing. How come none of you guys ever told us about the big book and steps? You know, I've been in this room for like 30 years, and you know, now I'm just getting around to it. But I'm just saying, there's no right time. If you're new in the program, really, there's so many ways to succeed. This is the easier, softer way. So Phyllis, I'm just amazed. I was just amazed. I was totally in love with this program all over again. And there's this great story. There's groups in the States now called the Jaywalkers. And it's just wonderful. And so here I am, trudging the road to happy destiny and thinking things are really good. And you never know, because alcohol is cunning, baffling, and powerful. And when you least expect it, you can be totally screwed. About 8 years ago now, I got sick. And I was smart, I thought. I mean, I had never dealt with anything before like this. And I have women in the program, and men, but two women in particular who were nurses. They're medical people, RNs, and they're very smart. And I immediately called them and said, I'm really sick, and I have this thing, and they're going to try and medicate it and make it fixed for a year, but if not, you know, I'll have some surgery and you know, it'll be better. And I called them all the time when my blood pressure was like off the charts, or you know, my heart was racing, or all these different things would be physically going wrong with me. You know, I'm really smart. I'm not going to be stupid, right? However, what was going on in my head was complete insanity. And now looking back in, you know, you don't know what you don't know. I know now that the disease I had, they actually caused psychotic breaks. And I was completely nuts. I was sitting at home by myself, totally anxiety, panic stricken at all times. But I'm a woman of recovery. There are no big deals. Easy does it. Breathe. You know, if you're in a panic, you call Kathy O, because she'll talk you off the ledge. So I sat there by myself at home talking myself off the ledge. And guess what? It didn't work. Oh my God. It didn't work. And the horrible thing is I found myself in a store, and there was this red booze there, and I picked it up and I thought, you know what? This might calm me down. And I said, you know what? If nobody comes in the store, by the time I get to the checkout, God, really, you should send somebody into the store, please. And he didn't, or she didn't. And I bought it. And I went home and I drank it. And you know what? It did calm me down. And it did make all that craziness and the anxiety and that panic and all that other garbage that I had never even knew anything about, which is really too bad now. You never know what lessons come. So my sobriety date is actually August 11th, 2011. And because it's really great. I had a sponsor who figured it out pretty damn quick that I was a mess. And it was really horrible, because the thing is after that first moment of peace and calm and quietness finally in my head, first of all, I was still sick, I couldn't stop drinking. Damn, guess what? Nothing changes at all. I went straight back to being my little maintenance drinker girl, you know, making sure you had enough for breakfast, noon, and dinner, and hiding, and everything else, instantaneously. And, you know, that's not going to work. When you've been around these rooms long enough, it's not going to work. And there's stories everywhere of people who have these years and years and years of recovery that go out drinking and never come back. Time to wrap it up? Okay, guess what? I came back. And you, and no matter what, I don't care when your ass does fall off, you come back. Because there's no other place for us. And who knows, that funny boy I married underneath the Christmas tree, For the last 12 years, we've lived in the States. Underneath the Christmas tree was a box, and there was a card in it that said, "Unto thine own self be true." And it had these numbers on it. They were the mileage to Belgium. And then at the bottom, he had actually gone online and copied off the North Sea Convention. And there was a ticket to Belgium for 1 week. So I'm here. And thank you all for being here. And thank you, Joe, and the other Joe.